William James, the American philosopher, once wrote, "Religion shall mean for us the feelings, acts, and experiences of individual men," get that, men, "in their solitude, so far as they apprehend themselves to stand in relation to whatever they may consider the divine." Well, we've come a long way since William James, and today you have seen and will continue to see how a ragtag group of resident theologians, you know, have sewn together our solitary experiences of the divine into a multi-sensory tapestry. For 10 weeks, we shared our deepest ideas and emotions and transformed them into music, drama, words, visual, as in these prayer flags, 10 prayer flags, each done by one member of the Biot group, and even culinary art, which you'll experience to your delight later on. You've already heard Bill and Ruth's musical credo, or expression of belief. Even the way we assembled the chairs today kind of reflects in the semicircular pattern the idea that we're all equal as theologians, a priesthood of all beliefs. Notice our covenant down here. Even though we used, as Heidi mentioned, Gilbert's program, Building Your Own Theology, we really didn't sweat the details or the homework. We started out with do homework, and then after a couple of weeks, we changed it, modified it to attempt doing the homework. You know, we chose spontaneity over structure when it came to our common spiritual journeying. I do want to add that Liz Massera, a very active contributor to our group, who's here in spirit, was unable to make today's service because her son is back from a 9-month stint in Afghanistan. And so she's down in San Diego to welcome him home. So blessings to Liz and her son. And now we'll continue in our reflections with LaVon Hodges, who will do a reading.
If you put a buzzard in a pen that is 6 feet by 8 feet and is entirely open at the top, the bird, in spite of its ability to fly, will be absolute prisoner. The reason is that a buzzard always begins a flight from the ground with a run of 10 to 12 feet. Without space to run, as is its habit, it will not even attempt to fly, but will remain a prisoner for life in a small jail with no top. The ordinary bat that flies around at night, a remarkable nimble creature in the air, cannot take off from a level place. If it is placed on the floor or flat ground, all it can do is shuffle about helplessly, and no doubt painfully, until it reaches some slight elevation from which it can throw itself into the air. Then at once, it takes off like a flash. A bumblebee, if dropped into an open tumbler, will be there until it dies, unless it is taken out. It never sees a means of escape at the top, but persists in trying to find some way out through the sides near the bottom. It will seek a way where none exists until it completely destroys itself. In many ways, we are like the buzzard, the bat, and the bumblebee. We struggle about with all our problems and frustrations, never realizing that all we have to do is look up. That's the answer, the escape route, and the solution to any problem. Just look up. Sorrow looks back. Worry looks around. But faith looks up. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, and speak kindly. James Green will now come up and do an homily for you.
My parents were members of a Presbyterian church in Oakland. We lived in a neighborhood that was predominantly Catholic, and many of our friends were active in the local Catholic parish. My favorite babysitter grew up to join a convent, and three of her siblings also joined religious orders, though two did not remain there. My father worked as a furniture wholesaler, an occupation that was heavily populated with Jewish people, and he learned to speak some Yiddish and knew many of the religious observances his business colleagues invited him to participate in. My father spent his leisure time reading voraciously on many topics and gardening. He loved working with bonsai trees, and that practice led him to appreciate Zen Buddhism. My father had been raised a Lutheran, but joined the Presbyterian Church to be in spiritual community with my mother. He served as a deacon. My younger brother and I were taken to Sunday school, and we were taught there about Jesus and learned many Bible stories, few of which resonated with me except as distant parables about lives that had little resemblance to our own. But our parents both explained to my brother and me that they didn't care if we followed their faith. We were free to choose whatever religious affiliation we were drawn to, or to choose none. The only thing they wanted for us is that we should feel that there is something beyond humanity, something that is bigger, more powerful than us out there, that provides a guiding force or principles. We should respect the faith of others, and that we should live by the golden rule: do unto others as you would have others do unto you. I liked the golden rule. It seemed to me fair and just, practical, rational, and logical. It conferred a principle of equality between people that seemed right to me. But this was only appealing to my intellectualism. On the other hand, I found my source of spiritual connection in nature. From a very young age, what drew me, what nourished my spirit, was the physical power of the natural world, coupled with the fragility of life, the spirit that informs living things, and the resoluteness of death. In years of observation and contemplation of these large, ever-present, miraculous, and fundamentally random features of this earthly plane, I derived my core belief, which our dedicated group of kind and thoughtful and creative spiritual seekers, and our guiding text for building your own theology, graciously allowed me to articulate through our roughly 3 months of exercise together. That core belief for me is that love is what gives meaning to life. I believe that the purpose of life is, I believe that the purpose of life is to learn what love is for us and to experience that love unburdened by any distractions. I believe that the purpose or function of prayer is to serve as an expression of excess energy that cannot otherwise be articulated in the face of great emotion. We are moved by our thoughts and feelings only, our emotions, the sensations in our bodies, the language we use to interpret these experiences, and the greatest among them is love. Because we are social creatures, we seek communities in which to feel held, contained, to find love, or to express the joy or pain of love that we experience alone, to let it out, to release it, perhaps through song, and be heard, be witnessed. And it is only with love that we can allow ourselves to do this kind of sharing in a safe place where we can hope and trust that our souls will not be crushed. A community of mutual appreciation, this community that you have built together. This is my way of reflecting that learning and that community back to you. This is my way of reflecting that learning and that community back to you. Thank you.
The theme of what I'm going to share today is cookies. And it'll come up a couple of times, but when I joined the Building Your Own Theology group, it was one thing to talk about my theology and build it with a group of 10 people, But I'm a very private person, and I saw the group from last year present their theologies, and I recoiled at the idea of sharing any of mine in a more public way. In fact, Jennifer, who did the prayer flags, gave me and some others the gift of being able to put our theology in a pocket so that it could be private. That's mine, the second from the end. So my theology's there, but it's reflected in a pocket so that it's private and held as my own. But something changed that, and that was back in March. My daughters, Victoria and Felicia, were doing a project through Girl Scouts, and they were raising money for FESCO for a project that they had created. And they did a fundraiser here at Star King. And I was absolutely moved and blown away by the support and love that was given to them. They far exceeded their goals of fundraising because this community was supporting them just by hearing their project, just by knowing them, the trust and love. They poured far more money into their project than, while they baked tons of cookies, than any of those cookies could have been worth. So that said to me, if I was going to take a risk with any community to share a little bit about Private Suzanne, this might be the group to take that risk. So thank you for showing me. Some people say the quickest way to a heart for some people is through their stomach. Well, for me, it's through my children. So thank you. And what I'm going to share today is about what I learned through building your own theology, which is about a plateau experience. I joined the group to build a theology, and as it turned out, I really had to just discover that I already had a theology, and I didn't know it had been there all along. I was raised to be valued for my intellectual abilities, but my spiritual, emotional, intuitive side were squelched, and it turned out that nature won out, and all along, I was having spiritual experiences that I had never recognized until I took this course. The book, yeah, it had a lot of room for improvement, but this was a really good piece for me. It explained the peak experiences, which are hard to deny when your children are placed in your hands and you meet them for the first time. That's a peak experience. You just can't deny there's something spiritual there. There were valley experiences for me that were very easy to identify. Family separations that occurred that first sent me here about 5 years ago to Star King, looking for relief for anything to get me out of it. But there was something in between, and the way they described it was that it's not marked by the intensity of the ecstatic experience, but it's characterized by a kind of serendipity, an oceanic experience, and a sense of total well-being. And I have been having these experiences since I was a young girl, since I was very young, and where I get them is in a multi-generational setting. It started first with my grandparents, and with people of different ages being in the room, I suddenly get this moment where it starts in my belly and radiates through me that everything in the universe is perfect in that moment, that I'm connected to the universe, I'm connected to the other people, I'm connected to the planet, the trees, the spirits that have gone before me, and maybe even the spirits that will come after me. And it's a complete sense of calm. And we had the chance in the group to share our different experiences like that, so it was nice to have other people to share this with and to hear how they might experience something similar. One of the things, I also, like Jennifer, do mindfulness, and I find it very empowering. And in mindfulness, when I work really hard to control my own mind, I can get a sense of calm and a peacefulness inside, and I can become in the moment, and I can feel and appreciate all that I love and all that I have. But it's very different from this plateau experience in that I can summon it. I can summon mindfulness. This plateau experience for me comes from the outside in. When I can't recreate it, I can't call it to me, it actually comes for me and to me. And what's so powerful about it is that it makes all of those other moments in life, all the pain and the doubt and the fears, which that's just this week alone, it helps make them worthwhile if I can just have one plateau experience. So what we tried to do here is an experiential service to help you experience, rather than talk about what our theologies are, to help you experience it. And the way I can best came back again to cookies. And my grandmother showed me this hug, this love, by honoring each of us individually. She had a repertoire of about 50 cookies, and she would bake the cookie that each cousin, each aunt, each uncle, each family member enjoyed individually. And mine was a chocolate chip cookie. So when I arrived at her house, she had my chocolate chip cookie ready for me, freshly baked. And so Roy called this that we will have a chocolate chip cookie communion. And so we have cookies, and we'll pass them out. And for those of you with health concerns, I did not bake them with nuts, so they have no nuts in them. But feel free to just hold it. If you have any health concerns, just hold it. You don't have to eat it. Hold it in your hand and wait, and Roy will lead us through a chocolate chip cookie communion.
Forth. So, one second. These are the words of our institution, of our new communion. Each cookie is a symbol of the earth. It's a microcosm, and it's a blessing. The wheat comes from afar. The labor of the workers who harvest the wheat, the cocoa in the chocolate. We even have the grace from Suzanne's grandmothers who gave us the recipe for the cookie. So as you share this cookie, if you eat it or hold it, imagine receiving the grace from the earth and all of us. So with that, let's begin the communion. Amen and blessed be.